This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go, hour number three of the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, and you. 844-326-3663. That's the number to call the show. That's the number to text the show. That's the number to be a part of the show. We want the Armada on. We want you engaged. We want you here. That light's very bright. It's right in my face.
Hey, you're the one who wanted it. You know, I mean.
Oh, I need it. It's for the people.
Is it?
Able to see, yeah, I got to see able to this nearly flawless skin in 1080p.
The glowing? They want to see you glowing?
A little like Casper.
You do? I mean.
Not a good way. Not a good way. Hey, it's 8 o'clock in the morning. You know what that means. It means it's time for the audio blitz. Ladies and gentlemen, the best audio we've picked up since the last time we did the audio blitz, which was yesterday. At this exact time. Most, yes, very way, Bill and Ted. Best audio we found since yesterday. Let's jump into it. I teased this a little bit earlier. Let's play it here. Byron Scott is a former NBA player. He's got a podcast. On the podcast, he made a call for Adam Silver, the commissioner of the National Basketball Association, to fix the ASG. Genuine question. If we went to an all-star game, though, that was just a game. It's just a game. It was just 40 minutes of basketball. It was four quarters. It was just a game. Or 48 minutes of basketball, four quarters. It was two, I don't know, 10, 11-man rosters, east and west, north and south, however we want to divide it up, geographically, divisionally, whatever. If we just had an all-star game and we just said, it's a basketball game, we're not asking for anything special out of you. We're not asking you to do anything other than what you do as a job. Go out there and play and try to win this game. Do you think that the new generation of players would take that seriously? Do you think it is? Because I get the impression, I don't mean to speak on his behalf, but I get the impression Byron Scott is effectively saying the more gimmicks you add into it, the less the players have a reason to take it seriously. So if it was four 12-minute quarters, go do what you do every other night of the year, do you think that would be enough to get the players to take it seriously?
You know, Rob, back in my day, that's how it used to be. And it was an honor to get picked as an all-star. It was an honor to go play in that game. And did they play a lot of defense? They played some. But I remember when Kobe Bryant played in his very first all-star game and how Michael Jordan embarrassed him by ripping off his pants, you know, the tearaway pants as he started to walk out. I remember that. It was a great game. and people were excited to watch it. Do I think today's players would be okay with it? Yeah, absolutely I do. I do. And then I agree with everything that he said. And if they don't want to do it when they're selected, fine them. And you know, once you find someone and start taking money away from them, suddenly they take it seriously. And they start playing hard, and it goes back to what it used to be back in a long time ago, back in the 80s and 90s.
So the whole, if they don't want to play or they're not going to play hard or whatever, fine them. And I get it. But on the flip side, it's like, can you really find somebody?
Yeah, you can, because as you've mentioned many times, money is the thing that people care about the most.
I don't disagree, but I'm saying, because at some point a players union is going to go, you can't fine us. You can't take away money for not participating in something that is not just an elective, but is also a major risk of catastrophic injury long term, right? Like, you can't fine me for not participating in something that is optional. If the boss sends out an invite for all of us to come to a corporate bowling party one day, and he goes, hey, if you want to be there. If you don't, you don't. But if you're not, you're catching a fine for it. Well, then it's not optional anymore. It's a mandatory aspect of this season, of being there. Here's what I'd say. I am good with that. I am good with that, great one. If and only if the NBA is willing to make an assurance that if you are catastrophically injured in the All-Star game, the salary for whatever amount of time you miss, guaranteed, fully guaranteed the rest of the ride. If you get banged up and you're out for that year and the next year, your salary, whatever your contract model had you getting paid, you're guaranteed that from the NBA. Now I can go justify playing in this thing. But if you're not going to do that, even though I actually kind of agree that if you just make it a basketball game, you put a little something on the line, and you make it a basketball game, you're more likely to get the game. It's hard for me to think that SGA is taking the game seriously.
So Kevin, what you're saying is it can't be fixed. Because they're not going to do that. That thing that you're saying, they're not going to do that. So you're saying the game cannot be fixed.
They're not going to do what? Make it a basketball game?
They're not going to guarantee if you get hurt, you get paid the rest of the time.
Then I don't know how you fix it.
That's what I'm saying. You're saying it's unfixable.
No, I'm saying I don't know how to.
Did they have those guarantees back in the day, back in my day when they played?
No, but they didn't have a lot of things that they have now.
But they played because it was an honor. They played because they wanted to. And they played because they wanted to play with players that they don't get to play with anymore or have never played with and get to play against the best in the world. I mean, that's fun.
I don't disagree with any of that. None of that's wrong, but that doesn't fix now. That doesn't change now. That play, guys don't feel that way anymore. So how do you get them invested if they don't feel that way anymore? That's what I'm saying.
But
I'm
how do we know they don't feel that way anymore?
Because if they did, they'd play and they'd play hard. But they don't. If they played that way, then I'd go, okay, they feel that way. But they clearly don't. So the reality here is, outside of being able to make some guarantees that if something goes wrong, you're not gonna lose money on it. I don't think you can say, I need you to put tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars on the line for my entertainment, but we're not going to guarantee you anything if something goes wrong. Of course they're not going to play hard.
So then just cancel it. I mean, because it can't be fixed. And you continue to try to come up with other gimmicks that aren't working.
I don't know.
It's okay. Sometimes things don't work anymore. And when things don't work anymore, you go in a different direction. If it still doesn't work, you just eliminate it. You just do that.
I don't know how to fix it is not the same as it can't be fixed. Those are two different things. I don't know how to fix something. I don't know how to fix the brakes on my car. That doesn't mean they can't be fixed. Somebody out there knows how to do it. It just ain't me. There's a difference.
You can watch a YouTube video. You can figure it out.
I do that a lot. All right. Giannis Antetokounmpo is one of my favorite people in the National Basketball Association. He had an issue with officiating the other night. Well, I'll let Giannis speak for himself. Love this guy. You know why? Because he just made a comment on the officiating in that game without making a comment on the officiating in the game.
Did he get fined anyway?
Not that I'm aware of. Not yet.
Okay. All right.
Not yet. What are you going to fine him for? He very simply said, hey, if I make a comment about the refs, how much does it cost me? 20 grand? That's too much. I got to pay for diapers. I can't do that. That is the comment, but he didn't make a comment. I think it's brilliant.
I don't know. It was implied.
It's brilliant.
I mean, you know.
I understand it was implied, but it wasn't said. Implying a thing ain't the same as saying the thing. I don't think you can fine him for that.
The name referee came out of his mouth.
He very simply said, how much does it cost to make a comment about the refs? 20 grand? Oh, okay, that's not worth it. And it's walking up to the Disney Park booth and going, how much is the ticket? And they go, it's $100, and going, yeah, I don't have that. I'm not paying to go in the park. You've made a statement without doing a damn thing. I like it. I like it. All right. Let's keep going. Hey, speaking of the NBA, let's stay there for just a minute. Nikola Jokic, 19 assists. Career high. He has now got more 15-plus assist games than any non-guard in the history of the National Basketball Association. That's pretty good. Here's what his head coach, Michael Malone, had to say about him. I mean, you had all that. Yeah, to all that. You want to talk about an old school player? You want to talk about a dude that if you're an old head basketball fan who's been complaining about the NBA for years? You better be watching this guy. You better be in on this cat because he's very good. Speaking of the basketball world, Rick Pitino talked a little bit about him yesterday. St. John's University, the team he coaches, put out, they have a YouTube project called Red Storm Rising. It is basically a in-season documentary about the basketball team that has been surrounding Rick Pitino and his running of this team. Played a clip for you yesterday from Rick Pitino in the locker room talking to the fellas during a second or during a halftime deficit of a game. And I loved it. I'm like, that's a guy I'd go send my kid to play for, right? Off the court decisions notwithstanding, that's the type of coach. Maybe not Rick Pitino, but that's the type of coach I'm looking for. Pitino was on the Pardon My Take podcast. It's a Barstool Sports podcast. And Big Cat asked him about coaching in the NIL world. Said if he had an opportunity to have a conversation with a five-star recruit, he probably wouldn't take him because he doesn't believe that you can win with high school kids. Rick Pitino's only going to have three roster spots, three scholarships come open in the offseason. Said, I'm going to go get three guys out of the portal, not a single high school kid to be taken.
See, all I heard in that thing is, hey, if I need more money, I got a guy.
I mean, must be nice to have a guy, right? Must be nice to have a guy. Everybody should have a guy. You got to get a guy. If you got a guy that knows a guy or is a guy, and you can call that guy and go, hey, guy, I need some LP.
Sometimes some strings attached, though.
I mean, again, run your program. You get caught doing something, you get caught doing something. Run your program. I don't really have an issue with Rick Pitino saying I'm not taking a high school kid. It's his choice. If he's going to go three guys out of the portal, that just means there's three spots somewhere else that those kids can try to go play. Right? Like, okay. So a lot of people are real mad about that. They're like, oh, you're taking opportunities away from high school kids. No, you're not. It's the same number of roster spots that are going to be open somewhere.
Well, we knew you wouldn't have a problem with it.
Why would I?
Because it's against kids.
Yes, that's why. That's why. Sure, that's why. Matt Painter is the head coach of the Purdue Boilermakers. Now, if you don't follow Big Ten basketball, it's been kind of interesting to follow Indiana basketball over this length of time. And obviously, Matt Painter has some history with Indiana. Indiana, earlier in the year, had a five-game losing streak. Now, they came off that streak to win on the road at number 11 Michigan State. Then they lost to UCLA. And then they beat Purdue. Purdue was number 13 in the country when Indiana got that dub. There's been a lot of question marks about the head coach of Indiana. There has been a lot of discussion about the head coach and what might be happening with Indiana. But what's interesting is that their head coach, Mike Woodson, has been kind of in it with fans a little bit. Because fans have said, hey, we're Indiana. This ain't good enough. And after the win over Purdue, Purdue's head coach, Matt Painter, had a message for Indiana fans.
Is this the modern-day version of I'm a man, I'm 40?
I think yes and no. I think yes and no. I think there is some element of that. I also think there is this thought of where is the line between fan interaction and doing too much, right? Because the Indiana fans have been absolutely on Woodson's ass for not being good enough the last couple of years. And obviously, Indiana has a long, storied history with basketball, with college basketball for the Hoosiers. But the team's not very good. I mean, they're okay. They're not what Indiana fans wanted to be. And Matt Painter's like, look, dude, if you're a fan and you're constantly getting after, sending tweets to players, to coaches, to recruits, telling them how much they suck, how do you expect them to fix it? When the people who are supposed to be lifting you up, and there's this weird balance that I think you've got to address between supporting, lifting up, helping to create a foundation of stability around a program, but also accountability. You're Indiana, I expect you to be this good. I expect you to accomplish this much. And where is that balance that fans can find to be somewhere in the middle? Is there one? I don't really know. It's interesting. We'll talk more about it later on. Got a little bit more sound I'll play for you when we come back on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show continues. The Fan Upstate taking a run up and down the audio blitz. Some of the best audio we have picked up since the last time we did the audio blitz. Got a few more clips I want to get for you here. Let's go with this one. Colin Cowherd was on Rachel Nichols' podcast, and they had kind of an interesting discussion about the continued fallout between the Dallas Mavericks, the LA Lakers, the Dallas fans, and, well, the Dallas Mavericks, including how, in just a couple of weeks, when the LA Lakers make their way down to the Big D, and I do mean Dallas, to take on the Mavs at home, something that Cowherd says, and I've seen this report floating around in a couple of places, that the Mavericks might not allow fans wearing Luka jerseys into the arena. I love a little drama, man. I love a little drama, and there's plenty of it here. I don't know what that looks like. What I do know is that if the Dallas Mavericks in, I think it's like March 20th, 22nd, somewhere in that range, when LA comes to the Big D, if the Dallas Mavericks actively bar fans, you know, I don't love it. I can understand them trying to limit the T-shirts and say, fire Nico or whatever. Fire the owners, whatever. I can kind of get that. I don't agree with it, but I kind of get it. If they try to ban fans from wearing a Luka Doncic Dallas Mavericks jersey, a jersey that they would have purchased from the basketball team. They say, hey, we know you bought that jersey from us, but we don't like that guy no more. So you're not allowed to wear that in this building. What's that blowback look like?
This hasn't been confirmed, though, right?
Not yet.
Yeah.
It's just a report that is floating around, but it does seem to be based in some level of at least conversation within the organization.
Do you recall this kind of ire against a former player to this degree that they'd be willing to ban the jersey?
I honestly can't.
Neither can I.
I honestly cannot.
And it makes you wonder, okay, what really happened? Because it makes it sound there's more to it than what we've been told to cause this kind of friction.
Yeah, that's it. Like, what? I'm at the point now where I am all but convinced, like, Luka has, like, he had to sleep with Nico's wife or something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's got to be something to that degree.
It's Luka. The only thing I can come up with at this point, and I also have
and we
to
know
imagine.
That happens in modern day. Ask Steve Smith.
Yeah, right. The only thing I can imagine is that Luka, like, genuine, I'm not talking about, like, got fat in the offseason or didn't practice hard enough or, you know, smoked too many hookahs and drank too many beers while only averaging 28 points a game. I there had to be something that happened behind the scenes. And the only issue I have there is the Mavs have had no problem letting it circulate that they didn't like Luka's training mentality. They didn't like his failing to stay in shape. They didn't like his drinking brewskis and smoking hookahs. And they're fine with all that going out. But whatever it is that really, I genuinely just think Nico looked and said, I don't want this cat here anymore. And I don't know what the reason is. Again, if it's because he just didn't work hard enough for you, I'm like, I don't know, man. I'd take a guy who was lazy but turned it. If I came in here every day and I half-assed the show, but I also turned in a 9 in the ratings book and had the most listened to show in the building, I'd be allowed to half-ass the show.
You would. You absolutely would.
I would, right? Like if I was working down at the car dealership and I was half-assing my sales job, but I was pushing 50 cars out of the building a month, pretty sure the boss would be like, yeah, go play golf, I guess. Have a good time, right? 28 points a game. Like there's something else below the surface here, and we just haven't heard what it is yet. Or Nico really just is that bad at his job.
You know, at the same time, we have complained about when a player leaves a team and the team comes back and they have a package for them on the board of appreciation.
You think they're doing that?
No, I don't. I don't. I don't think they are at all. Wouldn't it be great if they just showed a bunch of turnovers and missed shots?
I got to tell you, I kind of want them to just go full heel and do
that.
Yeah,
that would be great.
Just go full heel and do that. Just show all the time. Show us his tribute video, the end of the NBA Finals where he walks off without a ring. Show that. I'm interested. All right, Trevor Lawrence was on the Kay Adams show. She asked him about the rumors circulating that TL16 was being sought after, courted perhaps, by the Pittsburgh Steelers. You should want to leave Jacksonville, Trevor, because Jacksonville sucks.
So wait. So all those rumors and everything, they weren't real?
That's what it looks like.
I mean, so someone lied? Someone made something up to get pushed on the internet?
This is one of those times that I do say to people, when you hear a rumor, when you hear a report, take it a second to think about it. Just take a second to think about it, all right? Just take a second. You can go to ChatGPT right now, and you can just ask ChatGPT, could Trevor Lawrence be traded to Pittsburgh? And even ChatGPT will say Trevor Lawrence has a no-trade clause. You don't even have to, like, Google stuff that much anymore. You can just go to ChatGPT and ask a simple question, and ChatGPT will give you every reason that doesn't make sense.
How could any athlete in today's sports not put a no-trade clause in their contract whenever they do it?
Well, I mean, some players don't have that's a leverage thing, right? Like,
yeah.
That's a leverage thing. A guy like a Trevor Lawrence getting drafted would have some leverage to do that. A cat like I'm trying to think of somebody that's in that range, in that kind of mid-tier quarterback. Some guys may not have the leverage to
Bryce
do it.
Bryce Young, mid-tier. No, he's less than that.
Anyway, the point here is, I think that if you just thought about that for a second, you'll also notice, though, and this I will take pride in, you'll notice we didn't bring that up on the show at all. There's a reason for that. It's because I saw it, I'm like, that doesn't make any sense at all. All right, let's stay in the NFL for a second. Peyton Manning was on the New Heights podcast with Travis and Jason Kelce the other day, and I'm a little shocked that I'd never heard this before, but Jason Kelce, obviously a longtime NFL center, asked about that clip of Peyton Manning and Jeff Saturday. You know the one I'm talking about, where Peyton is screaming at Jeff Saturday. He's like, shut up and let me call the plays, right? And I've never heard Peyton give his side of what happened there, how that went down. Well, he did to the Kelces. I've never heard that before. Peyton was like, I got down there, I got in his face, and then I realized I'm just standing in front of the whole offensive line. The quarterback will have an offensive line go to war for him. A good offensive line will go to war for their quarterback, right? We'll get into a straight-up 5-on-5 UFC-style brawl for their quarterback. However, they will do the same for their for their brothers, for their comrades, for their big boys in the trenches. They will go to war for each other. And while the quarterback is protected by the OL, he ain't one of them. You are protected by us. You are not one of us.
There's only one real unit in football, and it's the offensive line.
Well, that's an offensive line thing to say.
Yes, it is.
The D linemen disagree with you.
Yeah, they interchange. They go in and out. The offensive line, it's in there for the entire game.
I will say there is definitely a special bond amongst the O linemen, without a doubt. There's nothing really like uber compelling about that story. It's just I had never heard Pepe talk about it. I've never heard him get into it and say, like, this is why I said what I said. This is the reaction. Like, I never heard that before. It was kind of interesting. All right, let's take a break. We'll be back here in just a minute on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. Yes, the Hot Rod Brown Show continues. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Rob and Lonzo. Be a part of the show, 844-326-3663. That's the number to call in. That's the number to text in if you want to get on the air in either direction. Let's talk quarterbacks around the NFL because there are some names out there. We are waiting to see what the Vikings are going to do with Sam Darnold. I do believe that is the linchpin. I have a genuine question that I would like to ask of Lonzo. I would like to ask it of the Armada. Do any of you truly feel that Sam Darnold is the guy that gets a team over the hump into a Super Bowl? Now, I'm not even going to say win it. Do you think the Rams, Detroit, if you don't think Stafford's the guy, is there anybody that thinks that Sam Darnold is the key to success to get a team into the Super Bowl? Zoe, is Sam Darnold a Super Bowl caliber quarterback in your opinion, in your estimation?
I'm just trying to think if he was on the right team. And I don't know if there's a right team out there that he would, if they had him, they would go to the Super Bowl.
I got one. And I will say this, as somebody who has been saying all season long, will continue to say now, as somebody who said this about Kirk Cousins and now about Sam Darnold, I believe that Sam Darnold is the beneficiary of what Kevin O'Connell and the Minnesota Vikings have built. I think Minnesota is a place that if they had a top-notch quarterback, they might be my NFC favorites, like over Detroit. That division, by the way, next year, the NFC North is going to be a mother, and I'm excited to see it. How about the San Francisco 49ers?
But see, he was already there, and they let him go. That's the thing. He was a backup there for 1 year, right?
Yes, he was.
Before he went to Minnesota.
But why did they let him go? Because they bought all in on this myth that Brock Purdy is a Super Bowl quarterback. They bought all in on this myth that Brock Purdy's the guy. And Brock Purdy showed you this year, again, that if he doesn't have his full complement of guys, he can't get you there. Here's the thing. I think Sam Darnold is just a slightly better Brock Purdy. But see, here's the thing. Brock Purdy got that team real close. Like, sniffed a Lombardi, right? Sniffed a Lombardi. I think Sam Darnold's just a little bit better than Brock Purdy. I still don't get the give Brock Purdy $100 million camp. Don't make any sense to me. I think Sam Darnold is the recipient of playing in a very good Kevin O'Connell offense with a very good set of skill position players built around him. Maybe the best set of skill position players in the NFL outside of San Francisco when they're fully healthy. But San Francisco's losing Debo. To me, Debo was the engine that drove that Ferrari. We got to see what happens with Sam Darnold. Because there's been all this conversation about Minnesota. The belief is J.J. McCarthy steps into his starting role next year. I'm not sold on J.J. McCarthy, though I do have to say, for the sake of accountability, because accountability matters to me in this industry, and I don't think enough people have it. I was also wrong about Drake May. I was very wrong about Captain Checkdown Bo Nix. So, Matt, I might have just had a total misread on this quarterback class. Because Drake May looks good. Bo Nix looked very good. I was wrong about those. Could I be wrong about J.J. McCarthy? Could J.J. McCarthy join Bo Nix, join Drake May in the, okay, I know ball, but like, maybe I goofed up category? I think, honestly, it is very, very possible that that is the case, that I may have just misread this entire quarterbacking class. I don't know how I feel about J.J. McCarthy. I will say if J.J. McCarthy thrives in that offense for the first year, I will 100% say he's benefiting from Kevin O'Connell. He's benefiting from those receivers, just like Kirk Cousins did before he got shipped off to Atlanta, and just like Sam Darnold did until he had to put together multiple good games against multiple good defenses, and he fell apart down the stretch. Talked himself into and then right back out of the $100 million contract club. I'm not sold. So Darnold to me is the linchpin. Once we kind of get an idea of where he's going. I think Aaron Rodgers is next up. 40 years old. Does he want to come back? Here's the thing. I'm not an Aaron Rodgers fan. I'm not an Aaron Rodgers fan off.
No.
I know.
No.
Shocking. I'm not an Aaron Rodgers fan off the field. I'm not an Aaron Rodgers fan, frankly, at 40, on the field. Aaron Rodgers was one of the best I ever watched play when he was in his prime. He is not in his prime. Okay? He's just not. And so the question mark here is there a landing spot for him? I've got one. Great one. The LA Rams, if they decide that they are moving on, and you go, why in the world would they be moving on from a guy who's taken them places? I have an answer for you. They would be moving on from Matt Stafford for one reason and one reason alone. His wife. If you have not been following the story, we've played a couple of clips. His wife has a podcast, and I'm not saying this is bad. I'm not saying she should stop. It ain't my business. It's her and Matty Ice Ice Baby's business and nobody else. But the last couple of weeks, his wife has jumped on a microphone on her little podcast and has really made life difficult for the Rams, really made life difficult for Matt, for her husband. After the trade or release of Cooper Kupp, she grabbed a mic, and she was like, look, we want to win. We want to play here, but if they're going to make it impossible for us to win. And for the record, she's not wrong. She ain't wrong. Cooper Kupp was still a major, major cog in that machine.
So you don't think that possibly she may be the voice of some of Matt Stafford's concerns?
If that is true.
Because people go home, and they talk to their spouse. That's what they do.
I agree. But if that is the case, then yeah, that's a problem. If Matt Stafford doesn't feel he can go to Sean McVay, go to the GM, go to the owner, and go, guys, what are we doing here? What are we
doing? I'm sure he probably did say, hey, we got to keep this guy. And they probably told him, hey, listen, this is a business, and it's just how things go.
If that is the case, then we still have a problem, don't we? Like, if your response, if you go to the team, and you say, hey, I got a problem. We got this. We need to keep this guy, or we need to do this or move that or whatever. And the team goes, hey, Matt, appreciate all you've done respectfully. Nah, we're still going to do the thing. It is their prerogative to do the thing. It is their prerogative to run the team the way that they want to run the team. I got no issue with that. But if they're going to do it that way, if they're going to handle it that way, if they're going to run the team that way, and he's got a problem with it, which is fine if he does, and he goes and they say, we're doing it anyway, then Matt Stafford's got two options. Option one is he goes, I don't like it, but I like being here and you're paying me a lot of money, so I'm going to shut up now. Or he goes and he complains to his wife, and he's totally fine with letting his wife go out there and make these podcast episodes where she throws the team under the bus. That's still not a good look. So now I'm wondering if Stafford's on the outs in L.A. And here's why. Sean McVay damn near retired 2 years ago at, what, 31 years of age? He was ready to walk away. Got to ring him out. I'm good. I'm done. Bye-bye. But they decided to talk him into coming back. How did they talk Sean McVay into sticking around? They said, we're not going to ask you to rebuild the Rams. We're not going to ask you to stick around through a rebuild. We're going to build you a team that we believe and you believe can win now. Sean McVay, I do not think, is going to be a head coach that's going to be chill with the rebuild, right? He's not a coach that I think is going to go, all right, we had a good run, the window's shut, we're going to have to reboot. I think when it's reboot time for the Rams, they're going to be rebooting with a new head coach too. Sean McVay's already come close to walking away once. I would not be shocked if Sean McVay decides that he is going to walk away again when it's rebuild time. I just don't know how many options the Rams have. The Rams have the option of go get Sam Darnold, which is also, honestly, not a bad play. Go get Sam Darnold, plug him in, let him be that guy. If you're moving on from Stafford, which I'm not convinced they are, but I'm kind of running out of reasons to believe that they're not. You go get Sam Darnold out of Minnesota. You're going to have to compensate them for that. There's not a lot of compensation to go around with the LA Rams right now. Option number two, you go get Aaron Rodgers. You put Aaron Rodgers into the Sean McVay offense. That's an offense that the step from Matt Stafford to Aaron Rodgers, honestly, it ain't that big of a step, right? Like, we know Rodgers ain't what Rodgers used to be. We know Rodgers ain't moving around like Rodgers used to move around. He ain't got the same slippery that he used to have. But he's a hell of a lot closer to Matt Stafford than he is Lamar Jackson, right? You don't have to change that much. I think that's a possible landing spot for Aaron Rodgers. By the way, Joey B said, or Rodgers could complete his Brett Favre career arc and go to Minnesota. Honestly, not a bad landing spot if they decide J.J. McCarthy's not the guy, but I can't imagine that the Vikings don't feel invested in J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah, but you're only getting Aaron Rodgers for 1 year probably, and then he's done. And in order to, I mean, everyone wants to see this happen. Who doesn't want to see this happen? I mean, it's...
Nothing else for the memes.
Yeah. I think you could go there and win, too. I mean, because if you can win with Sam Darnold, you should be able to win with Aaron Rodgers.
I have said a couple of times, I think if I was quarterback in the NFL, the Vikings is exactly where I'd want to end up. That's exactly where I'd want to end up. Because they have now shown, with back-to-back QBs, you can be an average quarterback and succeed here.
I just saw Mel Kiper. His hair is finally thinning. I've been wondering when that was going
to
happen.
He's hanging on to that hockey playoff pullback.
Yeah, I know.
He's doing his best.
There it is. Look at it.
Yeah.
He's unrecognizable almost.
That widow's peak is starting to thin out a little bit. You're not wrong.
You shouldn't wish for something like that, but that's a true sign that the world's coming to an end. Mel Kiper's hair is going bye-bye.
Man, as long as mine's still good. All right, we got more of these situations to play out. A couple of more guys. Michael says, Aaron said he wants to play 2 more years. I mean, I want to be in the NBA. Doesn't mean what I want and what I can do are very different things. All right, we'll talk more NFL quarterbacks later on in the show. Got a little bit more sound to run by you. Hey, we got an hour left to go. We're going to have some fun with it. You're all going to have fun right now when you sit down, when you get enlightened, educated, energized by Alonzo Sports Flash.
You're at least a G League quality player for sure.
I'll take that.
Okay. All right. I got it. I'll turn your mic off. You may leave now.
Thank you.
The Tush Push is on the chopping block as an unidentified team reported to be the Green Bay Packers proposed a rule to ban the play, according to NFL VP of Football Operations Troy Vincent. Vincent did not identify the team, but if the proposal is accepted for a vote, 24 of 32 teams would have to vote for it to pass during the owners' meeting next month. The play has been examined by the NFL in the past, but no action has yet to be taken. Denver Nuggets center Nikola Jokic set a career record with 19 assists and a 125-116 win over Indiana last night. According to ESPN, Denver's win was Jokic's 28th career game with at least 15 assists. Make sure you tune in tomorrow night as the Furman Paladins take on the Citadel Bulldogs right here on The Fan. upstate.